So last week, if you remember, we were talking about pressing on. Pressing on. We were making a point that we are not to stay put. We are not to be looking back. And we most certainly are not to be going back. This is my buddy, the blue chair back here, remember from last week? But that we are to be pressing forward. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. So the question that brings up is, where is your mind focused? Because if it involves forgetting what lies behind, then is your mind on things that happened years ago when God met you, when you were part of a revival service or whatever it was, are you able to get your focus to what lies ahead? One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. See, it involves action. Pastor Kurt taught us two sermons in a row about that. It's not passive. You have to actively press forward. You have to actively be reaching for what lies ahead. You don't just sit and say, well, whatever happens, happens. Okay, you're reaching forward. The word goes on to say, I press on toward the goal. Do you understand that all of these words are actions? Okay, this isn't sit, this isn't wait, this isn't just letting life happen. The word press on here is very interesting. It actually means what the verses are talking about. The word for press on means to leave that which you definitely don't want. To leave that which you definitely don't want. Now maybe you don't know yet that you shouldn't want it, but you do choose some things that you're not going to go after, to go after and chase down. It involved going after and catching that which you do want to achieve. That which you do want to achieve. And then that verse reads, I press on toward the goal in order that I may obtain that which He obtained me for. So when Christ saved you, He saved you with a purpose. He had a plan for you to accomplish things. So Paul, do you remember what year you accepted the Lord? Or how old you were? Okay, how old were you? 12. Okay. Do you want to say how long ago that was, or you'd rather not? Okay, it happened. Well, he's an example. He has forgotten what lies behind, Tanya, and he is pressing forward. But when he was 12 and he was saved, God said, these are the things that I want Paul to accomplish. And he's done that to each of us. Have we pressed on to accomplish those things? Have we gone after them? Or have we just been passive? These are all actions. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal in order that I may obtain that which He obtained for me. So I told you last week, same time, same channel, this Sunday, I would give you some steps to press forward. Last week was all about leaving the past in the past. Okay? Leaving the blue chair back there, and it's going to get put away in a little bit. To embrace what God's doing now and what He wants to do in the future. So as I was praying about this, and okay, so Lord, like I told you I was going to share the steps with you, but I didn't have them yet. I just knew I was to be sharing them with you. I found out that there's quite a few. So I felt that we were to talk about three today. Maybe the next time I preach, we'll pick some more. So I want you to understand, first of all, that these aren't the only three steps we need to take moving forward. These are the three that the Spirit emphasized for me today to talk with you about. John, the disciple of Jesus, the follower of Jesus, that is described as the disciple Jesus loved. I love that. Wouldn't you like to be, hey, that's Pastor Steve, the disciple of mine that I love. But having said that, do you realize that's true of all of them? You are the son or the daughter that he loves. Amen? This is what he said. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That's a good goal. We should be saying what Jesus said. We should be doing what Jesus did. And we should be loving as Jesus loved. So John goes on to say here, I am writing a new commandment to you. A new commandment. A new commandment, not a suggestion, not a comment, not a, this would be a good idea, a new commandment, a new commandment. Who knows what it is? Anybody remember what John said? Maybe if I get you started. I am writing a new commandment to you that you love one another. See, you just needed the engines revved up a little bit. Love one another. So the first step that we need to take moving forward, and the one that we need to keep with us the whole way, is love. Michael Girton would be so proud of me today. He's the object lesson guy in Elam Fellowship. He brings 250 of them when he comes. I'm lucky if I can think of one. So we need to be clothed with love. It needs to be our first step, and then it needs to accompany us. We need to love, listen, we need to love who he loves and how he loves. Who he loves and how he loves. So that made me stop and think, do I? Or do I just love the people that love me? Do I love the people who are easy to love? Do I love the people that are similar to me and that I'm used to hanging around with? Who did Jesus love? That'd be another whole sermon. But think about who he spent his time with and where he went. Yeah. Everything we do and say should be motivated by love. If it is motivated by something else, it is not of God. I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. If what you do is motivated by something other than love, it's not of God. Well, that might change some things I do and some things I say. In 1 Peter, we are admonished to fervently love one another from the heart. Not from the mind, not because we have to, but fervently love one another from the heart. In 1 John, it even becomes clearer exactly how important love is. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who truly loves, ready, is born again and knows God. Everyone who truly loves, in other words, loves like Jesus loves, is born again and knows God. That's a pretty strong statement. They're supposed to know us by our fruits. Right here's a fruit to examine. So get that baby out, and is that a part of my life? Because you might be surprised where this verse goes. Everyone who truly loves is born again and knows God. Those who do not love do not even know God. I didn't say it. Don't throw anything. Those who do not truly love, those who do not love as Jesus loves, do not even know God. Why? For God is love. Then John goes on. Like that wasn't enough to think about this week, right? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love. Why? We are able to love. We can decide to love. Why? Because he first loved us. So we don't have an excuse. We can't say, well, I'm not loved, so I don't know how to love other people. Or I don't have love, so I can't give it to other people. This tells us that because God first loved us, we can love others. So at some point, we might look at, well, what can I do? Like, I'm not sure I love the way that Jesus loves, but we could say, well, I have faith. I move in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in Jesus. I have read and studied the Bible for years. I pray every day, and I help others. We could probably all say that list, right? Well, that's addressed for us as well. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I want to make sure you understand this is all of us. For God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. I want to show you the most excellent way. Those things are all things that are in the church. But it says, I want to show you a more excellent way. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love. So I move in the gifts, and I prophesy, and I speak in tongues. But if I do not have love, I have become just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, that's a lot of knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, I think I have a fair amount of faith, but I haven't seen any mountains move. I haven't said, okay, I don't like that north mountain, move. But do not have love, I am nothing. If I give my possessions to feed the poor, that would be good. And if I surrender my body to be burned as a martyr for Christ, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. It couldn't be much clearer, could it, though? So we examine ourselves and we say, okay, to move forward into all God has planned for me to accomplish, the first thing is I need to make sure I'm clothed in love, I'm walking in love, I'm being motivated by love. How can I decide that? It goes on to explain that to us. If we want to know whether or not we love, here's how we examine that fruit. does it look like this? Love is patient. How patient am I with others? Love is kind. How kind am I to others? It is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So that's the first thing, the first step that we need to take going forward. Every day, in every situation, and with every person we encounter, choose love. Choose love. All right, second one I'm going to share with you today. So we're doing three. If we want to move forward, what do we need to take with us? What is the step that we need to take second? Faith. Faith. Faith starts with believing. These are some things that Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. We are told that after God spoke his promises to Abraham, remember that story, folks? God came to Abraham and spoke to him what was going to come true in his life, and there was no evidence that that was currently going to happen or ever was going to happen. So it would be very easy for Abram not to believe God. But this is what it says. He believed the Lord, and God credited it to him, or reckoned him as righteous, because he believed. Jesus said, blessed or happy are those who believe even though they have not seen. Even though they have not seen. So that's why it takes faith. If you can see it, it doesn't take faith. None of us actually saw Jesus on the cross. None of us were actually there on Easter morning. But we believe that he died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, a ruling Pharisee, that he needed to be born again if he wanted to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus explained that whoever believed in him would have eternal life. And then, the next verse you all know. So Jesus is talking to him and he said that whoever believes in me would have eternal life, and then John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then to make it completely clear, I love when the Word does this, because I read it continually asking questions like, what does that mean? How do I apply that? What does that mean for us as a family? What does that mean for us as a church? What does that mean when I work in my secular job 2 days a week? What does that mean? Jesus makes this completely clear. He says, he who believes in the Son has, already possesses, eternal life. He who believes in the Son has, possesses, eternal life. But he who does not believe the Son will not see life eternal. I would say belief, moving forward into faith, is very important. We need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that God will do what he has promised to do. Okay? So faith needs to go with us. Love, faith. Why is it on my head? Because belief and faith has to overwhelm and be more powerful than what's in here. Because who knows, you can talk yourself out of believing the word. You can talk yourself out of believing that Jesus is who he says he is and that he can do what he said he can do. You don't change the fact that Jesus can or cannot do it. You change whether or not you believe it. And that affects whether or not you will operate in that way. Okay. I have some verses on my phone and some verses in here. So Hebrews makes this even clearer for us. We're talking about how important faith is. Without faith, it might be a little difficult. Is that what it says, Jack? Might be a little difficult to please God? Anybody there? Excuse me? Impossible. Is that what it says? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whoever comes near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Yes, sir. And I want to get out of the Amplified here because I want to read a couple more verses to you. So that is how important faith is. And then you know that it goes on, and I'm not going to read all of them, but I think this is a great reminder to all of us that what we read in the Word, that these normal men and normal women did, was all accomplished by faith. Faith that God is who he says he is and that he can do what he promised to do. By faith, Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land that God would give him. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached that promised land, he lived there by faith, as a foreigner in a tent. So did Isaac and Jacob inherit that same promise by faith. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. It was by faith that Sarah was able to bear a child, though she was barren and too old. She believed God was able to keep his promises. Do we believe that God is able to keep his promises? All right, so just a few more. So help me with these. By Isaac invoked blessing on Jacob and Esau. By Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites. By Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. By, oh, come on, you're dying out on me here. We only have a couple more. By faith, he kept the Passover. By the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled for 7 days. By faith. All right, the last step that we're going to talk about today. And I do want to mention, we've already heard two of these steps. Courage was one of them. We need courage to move forward. And we need obedience. Okay, so that's two others that the others had mentioned over the past couple weeks as they shared with you what God put on their heart. Okay, so the first thing we need to take upon ourselves and have it be our motivation as we move forward is love. Second thing is faith. Okay. Third is endurance. Endurance. So what does endurance mean? It means you make a sprint out to your car in the parking lot, and then that's all the further you're going to go. Endurance means you continue and continue and continue. I felt maybe a year after becoming the senior pastor here, so I've been senior pastor for 8 years, so 7 years ago possibly, I felt like I was to prayer walk around the Newville territory. So not thinking it through completely, I decided, and I do like to walk, and I can walk a fair distance. So I started out here, walked down to Sheets, turned right. I was trying to find a road that would let me head down this way. How far do you think there is one? So I ended up downtown Newville. Exactly. And then I came out 641. And then I continued walking out Mount Rock Road. And then eventually I came out down here. And that was some prayer walk. Now, the scripture says, every place our feet trod, we take for his kingdom. So I'm like, Lord, you must really want us to affect this community. In my mind, I was going out, I easily can do a mile or two walk. Anybody want to guess? I don't remember. I did actually drive that because I couldn't believe how far. But, yeah. So it was maybe a 10-mile walk, 10, 12 miles. Folks, that is endurance. Endurance means you keep going, you don't stop. So let me get back to Hebrews here. We were in Hebrews 11, those of you that are following along. So if we go to Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to our life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that trips us up, and let us run with... Okay, well, that's probably the King James, but that word more accurately means... endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We are all talking about running the race that God wants each of us to run as individuals and running the race that He wants us as a church to run. It takes, do it in the right order, head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees. Okay. So it takes love, it takes faith, and it's going to take endurance. We do this by, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. When you run the race, when you finish, there is a joy that you have completed. And when you see somebody do that, what do? You applaud, you cheer. God is watching us, you and me. How are we running the race? We had talked last week about the Israelites. Probably close to 1 million people in the desert. 3/4 of them died in the desert. Why? Because they didn't have faith that God could see them through the difficulties. That God was bigger than their enemies. And because they did not believe that God was bigger than their enemies, they had no courage. And they came back and they said, you know, all of our lives we heard about this promised land. We know that over there is where God wants us to go. We can see it from a distance. But even though we believe that that's where God's promised us to go and where he wants us to go, we're not sure he's great enough to get us there. So we think we'll just stay here in the wilderness. They never received all that God had for them. They never finished their race. They quit. I don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. So we have to choose a couple things. We have to choose to continue to love. Sometimes people are so easy to love, other times they're a challenge. We have to choose to love. We need to continue to have faith in God that he is able to take us forward to victory. We have to choose to believe, regardless of what our mind says, or sometimes what our eyes see, or our ears hear, that he is able to take us into victory. And then finally, we have to choose to continue on. That's what endurance is. You choose to continue on. Continue onward into his promises. Continue onward into his provision. Continue onward into his freedom. Continue onward into his favor. And continue onward into his presence. Do you want to do that? Do you want to do that? Let's stand up. Determined and not distracted. Great. Thank you, Paul. All right, so let's just pray and let's tell the Lord today that this is what we want as individuals, as families, as a church. So, Father God, we want to love others like you love others. We want to love those that you love. Father, that disqualifies nobody. No one is disqualified. Well, I have a couple people on that list. Well, then maybe, Father, we need to ask you to forgive us and ask you to help us to love those that you love. Jesus, your disciples and others that you came in contact with came to understand that their faith needed to be increased. And so they said, oh, Jesus, help my unbelief. So Jesus, today, if we've identified that there are things that we struggle believing that you can take us through, if we struggle believing that you are big enough to defeat that which comes against us, we ask that you forgive us today of our unbelief and that you would increase our faith today. Help us to choose to believe that you are exactly who you say you are, and that we would choose to believe that you are able to do all that you've promised to do. And then finally, Holy Spirit, come alongside each of us and increase our endurance, our determination to not sit down, to not give up, to not be a participant, but to choose to keep moving forward, to keep pursuing you, to keep going after all that you want us to accomplish, to keep spending time in your presence, hearing from you, worshiping you, proclaiming that you are the Lord God Almighty, that there is none above you, there is none like you, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So today we want to leave here clothed in love, with faith guarding our minds, with endurance on our feet, that we would pursue you and that we would run the race until the end. Father, this week we ask that you would encourage and be with Justin and his family, that you would encourage and be with Darlene and Rich and Chris and Pam and the rest of the family, all those who loved and cared for these two men, that you would come comfort them and bring what only you can bring in the midst of these situations, comfort and encouragement and strength. And Father, we celebrate today with Matt and Danny and all that you have planned for their life going forward. So, Father, we go out today triumphant, not in ourselves, but in you, through what Christ has accomplished on my behalf. Amen. Have a great day.